Not one, not two, but three players came off the PUP list on Tuesday as the Green Bay Packers returned to practice for the first time since the canceled Hall of Fame game. To discuss the players coming back to practice, we're joined by Taylor O'Neill of PackersTalk.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about training camp, and we're talking about three players coming off the PUP list, finally. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Taylor O'Neill of PackersTalk.com joining us. Taylor, how you doing this morning?
Very good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. As I kind of start off our conversation with a lot of our first-time guests, Taylor, how did you become a Packers fan, and can you describe your role at PackersTalk.com?
Sure. So I try to write a few articles per week, usually about two. I grew up a Packers fan my whole life. I'm from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, born and raised, so it's just kind of I think part of being Wisconsinite that you have to be passionate about the Packers.
I'm in absolute agreement with that. But to discuss these guys coming off the PUP list, it was kind of the big news yesterday at Green Bay Packers practice at training camp. So kind of going through these guys individually here, Taylor. Are you surprised Ty Montgomery came off the list so early after recently revealing he had microfracture surgery?
Yeah, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about Ty Montgomery. Obviously I'm not a medical doctor, but from my understanding, the microfracture surgery can be, you know, something that can be detrimental to a player's career. I think the good thing with Montgomery was that a lot of times when you hear about that surgery, you're hearing about it with a guy's knee. This was Montgomery's ankle. I know that there has been a lot of success with that surgery, with guys playing in the NBA. I think a little bit less success with guys playing in the NFL, but, you know, obviously McCarthy and his staff are very cautious with their players. So even though it did seem to kind of come out of the blue that he's back at practice, I think that, you know, if he's back there, it's because they're feeling really good about him, which I think is very good for the offense. You know, Montgomery really looks pretty good last year before his injury. He has that sort of unique frame to him, that running back type size with the receiver athleticism. So I'm excited to see what he can do and if he can build on the things that he was doing last year.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one coming back to practice. In addition, we have the new free agent acquisition, Jared Cook, coming back. How much of a setback do you think this was for Cook, who missed the beginning of training camp in addition to most of the offseason program?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it would have been great if he could have been there the whole time, but I don't think it's going to be a major setback for Cook. You know, he's a veteran guy. He's had the playbook. I think it will be good for him to get back on the field to, you know, get that experiential knowledge of the Packers offense, and also especially just to build a rapport with Rodgers. But, I mean, we're still, you know, what, 4.5 weeks or so from the season opener. So I think in the long run he's going to be just fine.
I hope that's the case for sure, and it, from all indications, that was the case at practice on Tuesday, so that's good news. The third guy coming off the PUP list, linebacker Sam Barrington, now that he's off the list, do you think he'll be able to win a spot in the starting lineup this season?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people have sort of forgotten about Barrington, or they're sort of underrating him. He was a really solid starter the second half of 2014. I thought that Barrington looked better in 2014, maybe a little bit better than Jake Ryan did last year. So I think that, you know, with Barrington, his biggest competition is just going to be his own body. staying healthy. I think one of the things that, you know, is important here is, you know, Dom Capers said that last season after Barrington went down, he called him the quarterback of the defense. He was talking about how Barrington was making defensive calls out on the field. So that's an intangible. I'm not sure, you know, that Jake Ryan or especially Blake Martinez as a rookie are going to be able to bring just yet. I think Barrington is has a nice complementary pair with especially a guy like Blake Martinez, even though they're similar size. You know, Barrington plays a little bit more of the thumper type style. Martinez has a little bit more of that speediness or ranginess coverage type linebacker style to him. I definitely think that Barrington's probably not going to be playing on third downs, but I think he could definitely reclaim his role being a first and second down inside linebacker type.
We'll see as training camp progresses what his progression will be, his recovery from injury, so that'll be exciting to watch. We're talking to Taylor O'Neill of PackersTalk.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Taylor, talking about these guys who are still on the PUP list, what's your level of concern that Jordy Nelson and Corey Linsley have yet to come off this list in practice?
Yeah, not too much of a concern, I suppose. Linsley stated about a week ago that if this were the regular season, he would try and push it. And he's been saying that he's day-to-day. It's a little concerning, Linsley, with the hamstring. It's been like a few months now, I think, where it's been a lingering injury. But it does seem like they're just being, cautious with him. Nelson, I've got to think that, you know, they're also just being really cautious, especially with what happened last year. These guys are better, especially in the case of Jordy, you know, these guys don't need as much, practice training camp time as some of the younger guys or the rookies. And it sounds like, you know, Rogers dropped that nice hint at the Hall of Fame game in that interview where he seemed to think that Jordy was coming back sooner rather than later. So I'm not too concerned. I think these guys will definitely be back before the season opener.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, especially in the case of Jordy Nelson. If he misses another week, maybe two, still no big deal. I mean, but if he's back by the third or fourth preseason game, I think that's plenty of time for him to get ready for the season. A guy who isn't on the PUP list, J.C. Tretter, but he did miss practice on Tuesday along with Linsley. Are you concerned for the health of the quarterbacks that Don Barclay was basically the first string center, and after him it's like undrafted rookies at the position?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I wasn't, but a little bit maybe. Barclay, he was a little bit of a turnstile at tackle last year. I know he was sort of drew the ire of a lot of fans. But the reports out of camp so far this year have been that he's looking better than he did in 2015. You know, when the Packers re-signed him this year, I think they were thinking and hoping that he'd be a little bit more of a consistent player, being, you know, yet another year removed from his knee injury in 2014. So hopefully that's the case. I mean, they could really do with some more consistency on the depth chart there on the offensive line. I don't think it's a big deal if Barclay's, you know, manning the middle there in camp. But if I were McCarthy and Barclay was still the starting center come Friday when the Packers are supposed to play the Browns, that might factor into my decision about how many snaps to give Rodgers, I suppose.
Perhaps. All right, Taylor, what do you make of the canceled Hall of Fame game this past Sunday? Can you look at it through the lens as if, you know, what was it a good opportunity? Was it good that the players avoided undue injury, or was it a missed opportunity for the younger players who kind of missed out on that chance to play in that extra preseason game?
Yeah, you know, I think that overall for the team, I think that it was a blessing that the game was canceled. First of all, I completely sympathize with some of the fans that traveled all the way, to see the Packers or the Colts for that matter. I saw a picture online of a few Packer fans who were holding a sign that said they had driven all the way from Green Bay, got a hotel, et cetera. So that was a bummer for the fans, I'm sure. I'm sure it was also a major letdown for some of the younger guys, especially some of the guys that are on the bubble trying to make the team, trying to make a name for themselves. the biggest letdown was probably for Joe Callahan. It was kind of a dream scenario for him. You know, Rodgers wasn't going to play. Hundley was injured. And so you've got essentially a Division III quarterback, you know, who's got a chance to start preseason NFL game, probably going to play the majority of it in front of, you know, a national audience on ESPN. But I think overall, you know, I think that it worked out well for the Packers. They got the extra week of training camp that the NFL, you know, gives to these teams that are going to play the Hall of Fame game. But they didn't have to go through the risk of actually playing what essentially amounts to a preseason game. So I think overall, for the good of the team, I think that it probably worked out for the best.
So all that being said, after missing the first game, how conservative should the Packers be, you know, on Friday, playing players like Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy and Jared Cook and these guys dealing with, you know, coming back from injuries in Friday's preseason game against the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, I think McCarthy's always fairly conservative with his starters and his, you know, his locked-in guys anyways. I think after what happened to Jordy last year, there's probably a little bit greater anxiety about putting those guys out there. I wouldn't be too upset if Rodgers, Lacy, Matthews, you know, didn't take any snaps at all. I don't think they need them. If McCarthy decides to throw those guys in for a series, I don't think that's, you know, too big of a risk. But I don't think there's any reason to push it. You know, these guys will have a lot more snaps they can take in game two, especially game three. The starters usually take, you know, maybe the whole first half. So I don't think it's imperative that any of those guys play.
One last question before we let you go here, Taylor. What kind of signal do you think it sent when the Packers signed a second long snapper on Tuesday, 2 weeks into training camp?
Yeah, you know, obviously they're not feeling overly excited about Rick Lovato, and they wanted to bring in some competition for him. You know, I don't think the teams normally are bringing in, you know, multiple long snappers unless they're, you know, feeling a little bit timid or unsure about who they have. I'm a little surprised, you know, Lovato seemed to come in and fill Brett Goode's shoes pretty well last season when he went down with an injury. But at the same time, you know, it's not great maybe that they have to be spending two roster spots right now on long snappers, you know, trying to get it figured out in the middle of the training camp. But if they have to, if they're not feeling super comfortable with what they've got, I think it's much better they're dealing with it now than, say, in the middle of the season they're trying to scramble and come up with something else.
That's a way to look at the glass half full. Taylor, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us this morning. Appreciate it. We'll send people your way at PackersTalk.com to check out your work there. We've had a few other writers from the site join us, and glad you could be the latest. So thanks a lot, and be happy to do it again sometime.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Taylor O'Neill of PackersTalk.com joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right. So my two cents on, you know, several of these situations that kind of developed over the past day or two of the Green Bay Packers since the canceled Hall of Fame game. You know, speaking of these PUP list players, that was the big news on Tuesday, at least. I'm honestly surprised Ty Montgomery was back this quickly. You know, after he revealed last week the extent of his injury that was more than just a sprained ankle as originally reported. You know, we're talking last year. But according to a report at ESPN.com published, you know, what was it, last week, I think, you know, Montgomery had cartilage repaired, which you know, that was presumed, and that was kind of the least concerning. But he also had ropes inserted into his ligaments to hold them in place, and he had microfracture surgery on his talus bone. And Mike McCarthy indicated, you know, they really didn't know the extent of Montgomery's injury until the surgery took place. And I imagine that can be tough sometimes, you know, not really knowing, you know, what really happened to a player until you open them up and find out, you know, the damage that's in there. I suppose, you know, sometimes x-rays and scans and whatever, they can only give you so much information. I'm not sure how, you know, 100% accurate they can be. You know, I braced myself for kind of the worst, or so I thought it was the worst. I suppose, you know, placing him on injured reserve for another season would be the worst. But, you know, I wondered if Montgomery might continue onto the regular season PUP list, in which he would have been out for the first 6 weeks of the regular season, essentially giving him 10 weeks from now for some extra rest. But obviously we see that that's not the case. This is an encouraging sign. The doctors obviously feel Montgomery is ready. The coaches feel he's ready. He himself feels he's ready, at least I'm presuming. So that's all good. And according to reports coming out of camp, Montgomery and all the guys coming off the PUP list, you know, practiced on a limited basis on Tuesday, being withheld from time to time, which, you know, should have been predictable in a common sense approach to their return to action. So good news for Ty Montgomery, and good news for Jared Cook. The beat reporters covering the Packers had nothing but good things to say about the team's big free agent, you know, signing in the offseason. Admittedly, I was not at practice, so I didn't get to see him myself, but Cook apparently wasted no time, or little time at least, building a rapport with Aaron Rodgers, catching multiple touchdown passes from the quarterback in team situations, which definitely counts as an encouraging start. Cook, too, was limited in practice, and we'll see if they go out on a limb and have him play in Friday's exhibition game. But I definitely wouldn't say that's a necessity by any means. The fact that he's out there practicing before even the first preseason game is that's what's important. And he still should have plenty of time to get ready for the regular season. And as for Sam Barrington, his return was a welcome development, especially considering fellow linebacker Jake Ryan remains out with an injury. So yesterday at practice, again, according to reports, it was Sam Barrington and Blake Martinez out there with the first-string defense, which, you know, that's certainly the way I would line them up if I was a coach of the Green Bay Packers. They've had to do, you know, it would have been interesting what the Packers would have done, you know, during that first preseason game at the linebacker position. It, you know, considering as of Sunday, this past Sunday, Barrington was still on the PUP list. Jake Ryan had been dealing with injury. So I guess it would have been Blake Martinez and, I don't know, maybe Carl Bradford out there as your team's starting, you know, linebackers, or Joe Thomas out there. And regardless, you know, whoever wasn't a starter was going to see plenty of time, you know, afterwards, especially the second half of the game. Even newly acquired Derek Matthews at the inside linebacker position, and Boniquez Brown, whoever, they were all going to see a lot of playing time. But it's good to see somebody, Barrington in particular, who's had two seasons ended on the on injured reserve in his first 3 years in the NFL. It's nice to see him take this step forward. Because he really has a lot to prove that he can stay healthy, and not just stay healthy, but be effective, especially if he's going to be a starter, which is no given at this point, considering, you know, how well it appears Blake Martinez has looked early in camp. And you have to assume Jake Ryan will resume a role in the starting lineup once he returns as well. Although, you know, I haven't heard that Jake Ryan is going to be out any lengthy amount of time, which is good. But again, another situation we continue to monitor. Turning to the roster move the Packers made on Tuesday, signing long snapper Jesse Schmidt. The update since that time is that Schmidt barely took part on practice on Tuesday before injuring his hand, requiring him to leave practice, which is difficult to say at this point how much that'll impact his, you know, his job security, his newfound job security, just really hours on the job before he got injured. We don't know the severity of here. You know, if he can come back in time for today's practice, that would certainly bode much better. But just to give a little background into what I've found out about Jesse Schmidt, he should have been a rookie last season out of the University of Purdue, but didn't catch on anywhere. He became an assistant coach for Western Kentucky University in the interim last year. The Packers, however, did bring him in for their rookie orientation camp this past spring, so 2016, on a tryout basis, but obviously didn't offer him a contract until now. What this says about Rick Lovato isn't necessarily good. You have to presume the Packers aren't happy with what they see, at least in some respects of his game. Even though Lovato did well for the most part in the last four games of the season last year after Goode went down, I do remember Lovato had one penalty, but that's hardly the end of the world. But you have to imagine that re-signing longtime long snapper Brett Goode is still a possibility, even though he's coming off that ACL tear. You have to remember that Goode had never had a snap lead to a turnover in 8 years. He's a known commodity and doesn't need a ton of work. I imagine the Packers are just giving him as much time to recuperate as possible. And if they feel they need to, they can re-sign him any time before the start of the regular season, which would give him 8 months since the injury occurred, which may not seem like much time, but it could be enough, you know, for a long snapper who basically only needs to run to cover punts. Now, long snappers also need to anchor and block as well, but even that has diminished since the NFL changed rules requiring players can't line up over the long snapper anymore. So, again, a situation we'll continue to monitor here in terms of, you know, what happened to Jesse Schmidt injury-wise, if he's healthy, what kind of competition are him and Rick Lovato into, and whether the Packers may eventually turn to Brett Goode at some point here. But, you know, like Taylor O'Neill said, looking at it from the glass half full, better they're, you know, trying to figure out the situation now in training camp than in the middle of the season and you find out you got a poor long snapper. That's not what you want because, you know, as you've seen before, one snap can greatly turn the tide of a game if it leads to a turnover, and the Packers want to avoid that as much as possible. And just a minor note, to make room for Schmidt on the roster, the Packers released linebacker Manoah Pakula, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, making it no more than a few days into camp before initially suffering that injury. I remember he was already sidelined by the time of family night. So, you know, it's disappointing he didn't get more of a chance, but he was a guy that was a long shot to begin with. If you're a Packers fan, not that I wish any ill will towards Pakula, but better, you know, he gets injured than a guy, you know, a starter or something like that from that standpoint. Again, no ill will toward Pakula. You just, you know, the guys who are supposed to be out on the field, and, you know, you hope Manoah Pakula would have been a developmental guy that could have came around eventually. And maybe he'll get another shot here once he gets healthy. So best of luck to him. Kind of one more note here in recent Packers news, that there was some minor rumbling the past few nights when the Packers released their unofficial depth chart online listing wide receiver Jeff Janis as a third string wide receiver. Although I have to tell you, the depth chart is much ado about nothing. It's something made by the team's public relations department for general assistance to fans and the media, but it is by no means this thing that teams apply to as a hard and fast rule. You know, as players are rotated in and out of a game, there's no strict adherence to a depth chart. Certainly, it wouldn't appear Janis has set the world on fire during training camp, But I wouldn't say his roster spot is in danger, if for no other reason than his special teams ability, which is twofold. You know, for one, Janis has established himself as a top kick returner. And for two, he's a terrific gunner on punts. So whether he carves out a significant role on offense or not remains to be seen. But I would say his roster security is pretty good. You know, I think the only way the Packers get rid of him is if they trade him. I think that's unlikely as well. But I don't think the Packers would just straight up cut Jeff Janis. I think that would be a mistake. So I think he's pretty. I mean, we could, you know, argue till the cows come home about, you know, what's going to happen to the rest of the wide receivers. And that's definitely been one of the more, you know, bigger battles and talking points of this training camp is how these guys are doing. And you've got undrafted rookie, by the way, Geronimo Allison, really making some noise and making things interesting, because, you know, I think people kind of thought, well, you know, best case scenario with that seven guys, you know, battling for roster spots, Allison might be a practice squad guy, you know, but I mean, he's really, you know, from what I've seen at family night to everything everybody else has seen and said and wrote about, you know, really impressed with Geronimo Allison. You know, I was impressed with what he did in college, what he did during the All-Star game circuit and the lead up to the NFL draft. You know, I was all impressed by that. It's been eye-opening. So something to keep tabs on here. How he continues to do, and excited to see him, you know, when the lights come on in a preseason game. Definitely a lot of interesting things going on at wide receiver, but don't put much stock into the depth chart if you're doing that. It is what it is, and it's not anything, you know, that the coaches follow, like I said, strict adherence to. But that kind of leads us into
the day ahead.
Following the final evening practice at training camp last night on Tuesday, the Packers return to Ray Nitschke Field on Wednesday for the last practice open to the public this week in advance of Friday's preseason home opener against the Cleveland Browns. Now, you can expect Wednesday's session to be an abbreviated practice that won't last quite as long as Tuesday. There won't be any installations today, just more of a prep session for the exhibition game against the Browns. The Packers will practice on Thursday, but it will be held behind closed doors as usual the day before a game. So don't head to Green Bay on Thursday expecting to see the team practice. You'll be out of luck. But from here on out, training camp kind of has a change in tone. The Packers switch to more of an in-season schedule now that all their installations are done. And they're really, you know, heading into the bulk of the preseason schedule here. And pretty soon, the players will be moving out of the dorms at St. Norbert College to settle into their own homes. And for the players on the roster bubble who don't have homes or apartments already, they'll move into temporary quarters at a local hotel until the conclusion of training camp. And you know, that's the way it's going to go for the next several days and several weeks in Green Bay, even though training camp, you know, and for every all intents and purposes continues to the end of the exhibition schedule, they really kind of settle into more of a in-season mode here, like it would be during the regular season. The difference is that practices are still open to the public for the next, you know, 3 weeks or so. But that, you know, pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. We'll have more of a preseason preview on Friday morning's episode. So stay tuned then, so we'll talk more about the upcoming game against the Cleveland Browns and, you know, what that means for the players fighting for roster spots and things like that. So that's what we'll be talking about Friday. Railbird Central airs typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. which is the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. We'd greatly appreciate it. I just took a look. We have 197 reviews of the show. We're almost at the 200 mark. So would love to get over that 200 barrier, because when we do it, it helps get word out about the show, which I think is a service to Packers fans. When they're searching, when they're typing into Google Packers podcast, we want this to be, you know, the first thing that pops up. So thanks. And thanks to you who already have done so. We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll see you again on Friday when we preview the Packers' first preseason game. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go. Here we go.